Okay, our reading is from, we're looking at Psalm 125 today, and, oh, I don't know what page it is, but it'll be up there, so hey-ho. Psalm 100, sorry, it's in the Bible, in the middle, somewhere. Okay, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, but then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The Puritans had a great passion. I love their passion. And there was a Puritan by the name of Thomas Watson. And he said, he was born in about 1620, so a few years before my time. And he said, Jesus Christ is the sum and quintessence of the gospel, the wonder of angels, the joy and the triumph of saints. The name of Christ is sweet. It's as music in the ear, honey in the mouth, and a cordial at the heart. Passion. And I want us, as we look at this psalm, I want us to really feel that passion. The psalm starts off with those who trust in the Lord. So this is our bit, those who trust in the Lord. And I'm a bit of a version hopper. So I've got NIV and NLT side by side up here. NLT in verse 4 says, whose hearts are in tune with you. So two little statements there about us. Where, and my question is, and I thought it was really interesting that James started off with that question, where are you with your walk with God? Where am I with my walk with God? Those who trust in the Lord. Do I trust in the Lord? Yes. Is my heart in tune with you? Is it? That's the question. And James talked about the different stages we go through. We do go through different stages. I've been through, I worked it out, James, actually. I became a Christian 63 years ago. And I know I have changed incredibly. I know I have. I remember when my brother, I'm going off key, no, anyway. I remember when my brother, we were brought up in an Anglican church, and my brother joined Kensington Temple, and he was actually, he had a baptism, adult baptism, immersion. And I went to his baptism, and I thought, oh, he's getting a bit carried away. Oof. Yeah, is he off going off the straight and narrow? And I gave him, I apologise to him now, I gave him a copy of John Stott's book on the Holy Spirit, because he was sort of fairly straight down the line, and it said what I felt my brother needed at the time. But since then, I've apologised, and I gather he says he thinks John Stott did later recant. He sort of said, went back on a lot of what he'd said in that book. But we change. I've changed. I know I've changed from what I was, and I want us. I now enjoy something that, a quote that I got from the same book as James, and I was going to read it at the end, but I'm going to read it at the beginning because this is the Ragamuffin Gospel. It's a great book. I've got it. James has got it. My inside cover is covered with all the quotes and the pages that I wanted. But shortly before his death, Rabbi Joshua Heschel said, "Never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. I asked for wonder. And he gave it to me." And that's what I want us to grasp tonight, the wonder. So let's come back. We're looking at, first of all, verse 1. "Those who trust in the Lord are secure as Mount Zion." Mount Zion. Why? Why is Mount Zion secure? Because that is God's dwelling place. God, in the Old Testament, he first of all, he wanted to be amongst his people. So we had the tabernacle in the middle of his people. They were all in tents, so he was in a tent in the middle or with them. And when he was there, there was a cloud of fire or a pillar of fire or cloud over that tent when they were stationary. And when that moved, they went with it because the Spirit of God was in that tabernacle. And then when the temple was built and everything was done, it was finished, and then the glorious presence of the Lord filled that temple. And that was on Mount Zion. It didn't always have the name Mount Zion. It was the mount where actually Abraham first had made that, he thought he was going to sacrifice his son. It was the same mount that Mount Zion, it later became, where the temple was. And God said, "I will dwell there. The Lord has chosen Zion for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever." And that's why we talk about Mount Zion, because God dwells there. And then we come into the New Testament, and Jesus said, if we believe in him, we will come. If I believe, if you and I believe, we will come. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and make our home with them. Paul says, our heart, we are the temple. We are. Do we have a real sense? Can we somehow enjoy the wonder of that glorious presence in us? Because it is. It's there. It's in us. We need it. Why do we need it? Because life is a battle. Because the devil has been defeated, but he's a lively corpse. And he's as subtle, he's as cunning as a cartload of monkeys. He knows exactly where he can get us. He makes us feel that it's all right. This is just me. It's the way I'm made. It probably isn't. But he's so cunning, he's so subtle, that he makes us think that what isn't all right is all right. So that's why we need the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us. We trust him, but are our hearts in tune with him? Are we enjoying that glory? I love that phrase, the glorious presence of the Lord. It's in Chronicles. Do we know that that is in our hearts? Because that is the truth of where God is, that glorious presence. I want us to enjoy to know the wonder that his glorious presence is in us. So first of all, we have his strength That's why we're not on a rock. We're like Mount Zion. We're not Mount Zion. We're not a rock. We're not a mountain. But we're like Mount Zion in that Mount Zion is where God had his dwelling. And he said he would be there. He would remain there forever and ever. Secondly, he surrounds us. He's around us. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. He's around us. We need that fortification around us because, again, the devil, he's got his schemes. He does not want us to go this way. He's out to get us. He's out. They thought when Jesus was killed, they'd won. But no, he hadn't. Jesus was victor, and he's still trying to get Christians today. He's still trying to divide and stop us on this path. Spurgeon points out that the mountains around the city actually do not make a circular wall. God does not enclose his people within ramparts and bulwarks, making their city to be a prison. We are not imprisoned. We still actually have free will. But God can even use our mistakes for our good. Yet his saints are as safe. This is Spurgeon again. His saints are as safe as if they dwelt behind the strongest fortifications. Not just his power or his wisdom, but he himself is round about them. So we've got it's a double whammy. We've got him in us, his glorious presence in us, and we've got his glorious presence around us. Do we get that? Don't lose the wonder of that. Never lose the wonder that he's round us. Isaiah says, he'll go ahead of you. He'll protect you from behind. Psalm 139 says, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. That's how close he is. He's right beside us. And Paul recognized that the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. And in the Old Testament, his arm is often referred to as the strong arm of the Lord or the strong hand. It's no limp-wristed, it's a strong hand. This is the God that surrounds us. And the wonderful thing, I rather like, do I like it? It's one of those verses that when God was having the conversation with Satan about Job, and God said to Satan, have you ever thought of my friend Job? And Satan said, yeah, I have, but you have surrounded him, you have hedged him around. I love that verse because the devil can see that we are surrounded. He can see that. And it probably gives him a second thought, and we need the armor. We need to be protected because he's cunning. He's out to get rid of us. So we need that power surrounding us that Satan, that the devil can see, which I always think is amazing. He can see it. He gives us inner strength and outer protection, making us pretty safe. Here's a golden oldie for you. There used to be I don't know, how long ago did we sing this, Matt? Perhaps Matt doesn't remember it. It's probably older than me. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in your strength, safe in your keeping tender. We rest on thee, or we rest on you, we rest on God. And in his name we go. five missionaries, I think it was in the 1950s, many years ago, they felt called to this particular tribe in Ecuador. And they sung that hymn before they were going to work or talk to that tribe, and they were all five young men martyred. That was probably the last hymn. They knew they weren't going forth into that tribe alone. They knew that God was with them. And one of them, Jim Elliot, made the famous statement, "He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Those guys, he knew when he went into that if he was giving his life, he can't keep his life anyway, we're all going to die. But he knew he was going to gain what he cannot lose. That's what we've got, guys. Can we feel that wonder, that passion? I want our hearts to really leap within us as we hear that. So we've got the strength within. We've got the surrounding protection. But also we have an assurance. We can look forward. I always think we need bifocals so that we can look around us and see what's going on. But actually we're always looking. We've got the big picture. And we have assurance. And this is where I think I come back to the NIV here. The scepter, yes, because the NLT doesn't mention the scepter. "The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous." Well, do you remember at the Queen's funeral, one of the last acts to have been done was the orb and the scepter were lifted off the coffin and they were placed back. They were given back to God. She knew God. She knew where she was going. She's replaced one crown for another as the queen. And she, all the sign of her rule was given back to God, because that's where it belongs. In Daniel, it says how that God raises leaders, kings up, and he brings them down. God is sovereign over all. And it says this, that the scepter of the wicked will not remain. I find that a comforting thought, and I know that persecuted Christians do too, because they are being persecuted. Again, Satan doesn't like it, so they are being persecuted, but I've heard or read that one of the things they actually find comforting is that one day God will judge. They might be flung in prison. They might be losing their livelihood. They might be losing their family. They might even lose their lives. But they know that God will ultimately reign. Evildoers will be banished, in verse 5. People who turn... And I often think of Putin now, and David in the Psalms doesn't pull his punches. "Deal with them, Lord, as they've dealt with us. May this come back and bite." He's very blunt, particularly in the NLT. Show them what you're made of. Lord, deal with him. Sort him out. Get rid of him. Which makes me think it's okay to pray like that. But one thing will happen. He will be judged. Anyone, all these evil, these wicked rulers who... reign and instill fear, particularly in Christians, they will be answerable to God. And that's assuring for us as Christians. Evil will not win. But in verse 4, it says, "Do good to those who are good." God will reward those who are good. I struggle with that word good, because we use good. I think we've downgraded good a bit. We might say, "Oh, something's good." We might say, "That's excellent." We might say, that's outstanding. I'm thinking Ofsted, my Ofsted hat is on now. We might think about that, and we all wanted to be outstanding. We didn't think good was quite good enough. But actually, that good is the same good that is used when God created the world and he saw that it was good. It was as he intended it. It wasn't spoilt by sin. It wasn't spoilt by decay. It was as he wanted it. Perfect. It was good. And it says here, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. We will know, not the rule, not the rule or the scepter, the crown on some earthly awful leader. We will know that time when God reigns again. We are assured of that. That evildoers will be banished, but God will do good. And we will see it. We will see a world just as God created it. It was good. It was good. That's what's in store. We have got the glorious presence of the... And I want us to feel the wonder. Think of that rabbi. Throughout his life, he never lost the wonder. God was dwelling within him. He had that glorious presence. He never lost the wonder that God was around him, that God was protecting him. We'll never know what God has saved us from. We'll never know. Only God knows. I heard once that someone was preaching and he said, nothing happens to us that hasn't crossed God's desk. And I've added a bit more to that. I've added, we don't know what God might have seen come on and said, no, I'm not letting that one go. But equally, I often think things happen, it happens, stuff happens. And I think when God knows there's something that's not pleasant, as he passes it across, he's thinking, I will be with them. They will learn more of me. I will protect their hearts. I will guard them. I will get them through it. He's round about us. He's in us. He's round about us. We have the assurance that one day evil will be punished and that we will enjoy the good as God created it. We will enjoy it. And finally, he gives us his peace. His peace. That's a gift, peace. Not as the world gives. The world doesn't really give us peace, but God gives us genuine peace. There's a verse in Psalm 119, those who love your instructions speak to us. Let it minister to us. So that our hearts can be in tune with God. So as we've got that glorious presence, the strong hand and powerful arm around us, the assurance that one day evil will be punished and that we will enjoy eternal life where everything is good, let's pray that we will never lose that wonder. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We just thank you that you are God, that you choose to live in us. Thank you that that glorious presence is in us, that hedge around us that the devil can see is around us. Because you're there around us. You are surrounding us. You protect us. You guard us. Your strong hand is upon us. and thank you for the assurance that one day evil will be punished and we will live in a world that is good. That is good as you created it. So, Father, I pray that this week we will never lose the wonder of all that you are, all that you do, all that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.